You know, there are some Christian lessons of life that God doesn't want us to miss. So because there are times when we are not exactly the brightest bulb on the string, a fact that was made very clear to me this week as I tried to use that new computer I got for Christmas, there are themes that run through Scripture to make sure that we see them. One of these themes is our Scripture lesson that's been read for 500 years on the Sunday after Christmas. It's from the Epistle of Colossians. Now, Paul says to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to say in Ephesians 5, "Make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then in our lesson this morning, Paul writes to the church in Colossae, and he talks about three different things in one brief statement. "And be thankful," he says. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So today, we're going to train for gratitude. We're going to start our training today. We're going to start right now. Now, I don't know if you noticed when you came in here that there's some blank space on your bulletin. I don't know how it got the title meeting notes, because that's not for meeting notes at all. Okay, this is for homework. Okay, this is for sermon homework. There's blank space in your bulletin. I want you to look at it. And I want you to take out a pen from your purse, or if you're with a lady who has a purse, or the little pencil that might be in your pew. I don't know, the kids kind of went and gathered them all up. Because this is a deliberate thing that we are going to do this morning. We are going to try an exercise in this sermon, because sometimes during a sermon, your mind will drift. Today, the idea is to let your mind drift towards gratitude and thanksgiving. Now, here are a few seeds to get your brain ruminating. Maybe there are individuals that God will bring to your mind this morning. Maybe a family member, or a coworker, or a teacher. Or maybe there's an experience. The opportunity to go to school, for instance, or the opportunity to work or to travel. Maybe there was a time when you suffered and God comforted you. Now think of a small gift, an encouraging word maybe from somebody, a phone call, a perfectly timed text, a good night's sleep, or maybe even some food that you love to eat. We've all been there this holiday. Now, maybe this little gift that you've thought of is a life-changing gift. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's the day you got saved. Maybe it's Scripture itself. The cross of Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, your awesome church family. I have some observations that I want to share with you about gratitude, but the whole time I'm talking, God will bring to your mind things that you're grateful for. And when he does, I want you to take your pencil or your pen, and I want you to write them down in that blank spot. And by the end of the message this morning, we should have some really encouraging words to look at for 2013. And then we're going to talk to God about it. Now, my first observation is this. More gratitude will not come from acquiring more stuff. More gratitude comes from acquiring more awareness of God's presence and God's goodness. Now today, I don't want to talk about having more gratitude is good for you, because it is a proven psychological fact that people who are thankful and grateful are healthier people. They're happier people. That's a given. Where are you going, Zachy? What are you looking for, buddy? buddy. What are you looking for? Here, let's find Zachy. Stacy? Oh, okay. He's missing something. Oh. Zach. Right there is a snack there, big guy.
He woke up this morning. He was like,
Then he was chewing. Right there there's a snack, bud.
I didn't think he actually
Well, he fooled you. Uh-oh. So it is a proven psychological fact that grateful people are healthier people. People who give thanksgiving, who live lives of thanksgiving, are happier people. But today I specifically want to talk to you about Christian gratitude. Jesus-shaped gratitude. And Jesus-shaped gratitude starts with a whole new worldview. The definition of gratitude is the perception of the good. You can't manufacture gratitude by willpower, even though there are an awful lot of people who try. You can't just decide to be thankful. Because you see, gratitude is actually a byproduct of a way of seeing things. Gratitude is a byproduct of a Christian worldview. It is a certain worldview. And it always involves three things. Now, first, in order for me to be grateful, I have to have received a gift. I have to think that this gift is a good thing for me to receive. I have to like the gift. I have to think that the gift is a benefit to me. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Psalm 103 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things? Now, if you haven't written down anything yet that you're grateful for, now would be a good time, okay? Because Psalm 103 gives you a whole bunch of stuff to write down, all right? A lot to write. Don't forget the benefits. You know, our lives are filled with benefits from God. I mean, sure, we're blind to them most of the time. Gratitude requires that we recognize them and that we know they are good. Now, the second factor of gratitude is that we have to realize that the gift that we have received has been given by somebody. I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but sometimes we forget. To be grateful, we have to believe that not only are benefits coming our way, but they are not coming randomly. They are not coming by accident. To be grateful, you have to believe that the gift that you like, that is beneficial for you, has come from somebody. And you have to believe that the person who gave you the good thing wants you to have good things in your life. For me to be a grateful person, that's what I have to believe about God. You know, the writers of the Bible, they were convinced that they had a great person giving them good stuff. The writers of the Bible believed that they had a great benefactor. James says this awesome statement. "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." A good God exists, and he is always giving good things to us. That's what we believe as Christians. Now, the third thing that contributes to gratitude, now remember, it was a gift received, okay, so that's a benefit. Someone has given the gift, okay, that's a benefactor. And then there has to be someone who receives the gift, and that's the beneficiary, that's you. And that's me. You are the beneficiary of the benefits of a God who has your best interest at heart. But here's the deal. For us to have gratitude, we have to believe that we have received something that we did not earn. We have to believe that we have received something that we did not deserve. Gratitude can only happen in a humble heart. If I think I'm owed something, I'm not going to be thankful when I get it, because I'm going to think I'm entitled to it. If I deserve something, it is owed to me. You know, as sinful human beings, we have a real problem with this. We believe that our gifts rightfully belong to us. And the more that we think that we are entitled to, the less we will be grateful for. Have you ever wondered why people who keep getting more and more are less and less grateful? You see, the more that we think we deserve, the less we are grateful. My sinful mind can convince me that I am entitled to anything I want. And if I don't get something I want, then it must be somebody else who messed up. So this has led to a culture of lawsuits. We all know how this works. When we don't get something we really want, we just sue somebody. This is true. Did you know that a couple years ago, the San Francisco Giants were sued because they passed out Father's Day gifts to men only? I'm not making that up. A psychology professor sued for sexual harassment because there was mistletoe at the Christmas party. A psychic was awarded $986,000 when a doctor's CAT scan impaired her psychic ability. I was just kind of wondering about that third one. You would have thought she would have known not to go in that CAT scan machine. I mean, I'm just saying. You know, from a Christian perspective, ingratitude is not just a psychological problem. Ingratitude is a sin. Paul says that ingratitude is a sign of a life opposed to God. If you're a parent, you don't want to raise ungrateful children. Same thing with God. He doesn't want ungrateful children. Now, speaking about people living a life opposed to God, Paul says in Romans 21, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. Their thinking became futile." In other words, they thought they were owed. They didn't see themselves as grateful receivers of every moment of life. They didn't see the grace of God that was poured out on them moment by moment. They thought it was by their own hands somehow they achieved all this stuff. Do you know that the Bible's word for ingratitude is the same word translated grumbling? Paul says that grumbling is a life without God. God takes grumbling seriously. Paul heard about the spirit of grumbling in the church of Corinth. So he wrote to the church of Corinth about the grumbling of Israel at Mount Sinai. God was so good to the Israelites. I mean, we know the story. He gave them freedom. He took care of them. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He led them to the promised land, and what did they do? They just cranked in response. They were not grateful. So Paul says to the church in 1 Corinthians 10:10, "And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel." Ouch. What a lesson for all of us to learn. Jesus knew what it was like to live a life of gratitude. You know, devout Jews gave thanks for everything. If there was a lamp, they had a prayer for giving thanks for the lamp that gives light. They gave thanks for everything. The disciples followed the rabbi around to be taught how to give thanks in all things. There is written documentation of disciples that followed their rabbis into the woods to do their business, to learn what the thanksgiving was for that, and there is one. You know, that's what Jesus' disciples were asking for when they said to Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." And he gave them the Lord's Prayer. Now, in particular, we're to bless God for people, all people. Because life with God has an awful lot to do with life with people. And we should thank God for people that we get along easily with. And we should thank God for people who are hard to get along with. Thank you, God. Now, here's the second observation for this week. Life with God will help me learn to be grateful for imperfect people and imperfect circumstances. Our job is not to try to feel grateful. You know, a lot of people are trying to do that and they fail miserably. Gratitude is a byproduct of a life lived in harmony with God. Gratitude is a spiritual issue. The only way we can live lives of gratitude is to put our minds and our hearts in the presence of God. To surrender our wants and our wills to His perfect will. Then we'll remember to pray, God, you're right here. And we don't carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Thank you, God, that we're alive. Thank you that we have bodies. Thank you that we are warm. Thank you for this world. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. You know, if I wait for perfect people and perfect circumstances to be grateful, I am going to have to wait a long time. You know, rabbis talked about this too. A rabbi is recorded to have said, one is obligated to say a benediction over evil as well as a benediction over good. Why, he said, because evil is a good thing? Because suffering is a good thing? No, of course not. Those are bad things. And God is at work, and one day he will overcome and overturn them. The rabbi said that one is obligated to say a benediction at all times, get this, because human beings are always in danger of being thankful only when they get their own way. When we only give thanks when good things come our way, you know, our threshold for gratitude keeps getting higher and higher and higher, and we become ungrateful people. Being transformed by God means learning to see ways in which God is at work, even in bad situations. For we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him. Well, anyway, the rabbi said only God knows for sure what will turn out to produce good. You know, there are lots of times when all of us, we go through hard things. We go through painful things. We go through bad things. And my goodness, we all wish we wouldn't have to do that. But how many times have you looked back and thought, man, I am so grateful I did not miss that. So the rabbi says, we bless God all the time, giving thanks in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you, quoting from Scripture. You know, a grateful life with God, I think, is one of the best opportunities that God gives to mankind to live in this world. The question that God asks each one of us at some point or another in our lives is this: how much will you, how much will I, how much will this man or how much will this woman allow me to carry during the hour of suffering? That's the question he asks. If we don't answer that question very well, you know that we have totally missed our reason for living. We owe our ultimate gratitude to God for God's ultimate gift. We are unworthy servants. You know, that's an old way that the people of God referred to themselves. It's been lost in the modern church. I mean, we don't like to think of ourselves as servants, much less unworthy. But if I think of myself as some kind of an entitled master of my domain, I'm never going to be grateful. I'll miss out on God's plan for my life. You know, we're glad for our friends. We're glad for our house. We're glad for our cars. We're glad for money. We're glad for success when it comes our way. We're glad for jobs if we have them. But if we don't have those things, it doesn't prevent us from being grateful for God's greatest gift. So above all, fellow followers of Jesus, in plenty and in need, in palaces and in prisons, we thank God for the gift of Jesus. His matchless life, his perfect teaching, his sacrificial death, his triumphant resurrection. Blessed are you, O Lord. So here are a couple of exercises for living lives of gratitude. Now remember, our overall goal is to increase the number of moments when we are aware of and we surrender to God. Okay, that's the purpose. Now, the first exercise for you guys this week is you need to write a gratitude letter. Think of somebody in your life. Somebody in your life, and you can just write down who that person is, who has really impacted your life for the good. Somebody you've known for quite a while. A friend, a confidant, doesn't matter, an encourager. Somebody without who you'd be a different person. And then take your time and write down a letter telling them why you are grateful to God for them. Make it short, but include specifics. But before you do this, there are a couple of rules of thumb. You cannot do this to someone who can benefit you financially. Okay, that goes without saying, right? You can't have any other ulterior motives. And young people, this cannot be someone you are hoping to date who does not want to date you, okay? I'm just saying. It's best if you can choose to give it to somebody who will be surprised by it. I have to tell you a secret. I have not shared this with many people. I have been humbled to have this happen to me several times. There have been occasions when I didn't even have a clue who the person was. That's why I'm saying include specifics. But without exception, I have to tell you, I was bawling like a baby by the end of those communications, just of the privilege of being used by God to impact someone's life. What a privilege that is for this unworthy servant. Now, I guarantee, if you do this week with God, you are going to be more joyful at the end of this week than if you don't do it. I guarantee that. That's a guarantee. Now, a second exercise is for you to pray your blessings. Remember the pious Jews that were thanking God for every little thing, you know what I'm saying? Now, you don't have to pray to God thanking him for the lamp, okay? I mean, unless you're moved, okay? You can do that. But take joy in small things. Begin by thanking God for the beauty of a freshly made bed. Or maybe just the blessing of a hot cup of coffee in the morning. Or a car that starts in the bad weather. Or a furnace that works. Or water that actually comes out of the tap when you turn the spigot. Now, if you are a disciplined person, each night this week before you go to sleep, write down just four things during the day in which you were grateful to God. Now, you might want to use the old Hebrew form. There is a form for praying these prayers that the ancient Hebrews used. They began them all with, "Blessed are you, O Lord." That's the word, the form that the ancient Israelites would use. For example, they would say, "Blessed are you, O Lord, who gave me this friend I love." Okay, that would be something like they would say. Now again, your job is not to try to feel grateful. Your job is to just show up for your own life and remember to look closely and to see things and give God thanks for little things. So try these two exercises. Write a letter of gratitude and remember your blessings when you wake up and when you go to bed this week. I guarantee this will train you to have a more grateful heart and be more in tune with God. So let's pray, and I want you to take that little sheet of paper that you have. I want you to look at it. I want you to take the words and remember the one who has given you those things. He is the great God who loves you. He is the God of the universe who cared enough for you to reach down and make for sure that your heart beats one more time. Now, as you look at those things, your heart might be full and you might be kind of singing. You might not. That might not be you, but it doesn't matter. Because this is your moment to say thank you to him. Let's do that right now. Thank you, God. Blessed are you, O Lord.